It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday.
Yes, it's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday. What? Big weekend of footy still to come. Last night it kicked off in around 13 in Adelaide with the Cats defeating the Power. We'll talk about that on the Friday footy preview, even though it's sort of a review situation. With Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, the champ from the Kangas, is back with us, hamstring and all. Good morning, Boomer.
Good morning, boys, and what a big week it's actually been in football this week, I can say it. It's massive, and not only football. Of course, we've gone into the lockdown as well. Another week went by, so very interesting week this week.
My word of this. Well, the biggest question in footy, of course, is how is your hamstring, and will you be running this weekend for the Kangaroos?
Oh, I'm ready to go, but it is going to be very, very cold in Tasmania, I've been told, as it normally is. So I'm just going to pack the beanie, and I'll pack the boots as well, just in case. But I'm hearing the physios don't really want me to take the risk in the cold weather. So I might have one more week off with the beanie and the jacket on, I think, calf.
Right. Just running tracksuit pants.
Well, I remember watching the football. They used to have it, the T-shirt and the tracksuit pants.
Absolutely.
I did that.
I'm not sure the tracky pants are in the attire, the AFL attire anymore. You got the jacket, but it's a pink jacket, and I've tried it on, to be honest with you, and number one, you can't see my biceps half. And two, it just doesn't look good.
We had Dave Noble on yesterday on The Breakfast Club. If you didn't hear that, Kangaroo supporter, straight to the website, rsn.net.au. And he suggested that your form wasn't really warranted, and they're using the medical excuse as just a way to soften the blow ego-wise.
He actually did say that in match committee yesterday. He said, "Yes, I was on radio the other day, and I got asked about your biceps." I said, "Oh, did you just? I wonder which radio station that was."
Whitey. It was Whitey. It was definitely Whitey.
Yeah, it was Whitey. Of course, it was.
Hey, what'd you make of last night's footy? We haven't had a chance to talk about that. From my perspective, anyway, I'd love to get your take on it, boys. A fantastic game of footy. It ebbed and flowed like few games I've seen in recent times, I must admit. Two quality teams going at it. Boomer and the Cats, in the end, blew the Power off the park.
Yeah, they did. I thought it was a fantastic and very interesting game of football. Number one, I really rate Port Adelaide, especially over in Adelaide. And two, Geelong have just snuck under the radar. I honestly haven't thought they've gone as good as they have. And you look at the ladder and they're sitting, I think they were third on the ladder, a game off second. They're absolutely flying, the Cats. And when you put the team together and you look at the end, Cameron kicks five, Hawkins kicks four, Rowan kicks three. They've got 12 between their three main forwards again. They're going to be very hard to beat. But Port Adelaide started super well. I thought they were fantastic. And of course, Rosie kicking four in the first quarter was mind-blowing. He's a damn good player, the young kid. He's got some talent. He's going to be a good player for a long time. But I thought Port Adelaide in general started really, really well. And then their Cats. The Cats absolutely dominated after that. Their second quarter was outstanding. They had 12, at half-time, I think it was 12-4 inside 50 marks. And that was the difference. They were marking the ball up forward, whereas Port probably didn't rely on Charlie Dixon, didn't really touch the ball too much. So for me, it was the marking power up forward in the first half. And like I said, that continued for the rest of the game with the three main forwards kicking 12 between them.
Just interesting with Port, they probably fail, they do fail another challenge against a real contender.
Yep.
And over on their home deck. So the Bulldogs got them over there, and now Geelong. It's the turnovers that I believe are really hurting Port Adelaide. You look last night, there was just a number of kicks that just floated. Yeah, you look at, I think it was Kane Farrell's kick late in that last quarter where he hurt himself, and then it was just a lazy kick and Selwood intercepts it and off they go down the other end of the ground. They do so much right, Port, but just that little part of the game, turnover and protecting the football. A lot of people will say Geelong are a boring team to watch. You know, they go into slow play, and we've all been critical.
We have.
But they don't turn the ball over. They don't turn the ball over at critical moments within the game. And Port Adelaide did. That was a difference in the game. Geelong only had 38 tackles last night. So they weren't applying enormous pressure to Port. But the two areas that I noticed, the turnover and the other part is, in defence, Geelong's intercept marking was absolutely elite as normal. And they walked the ball out of their defence. There was no, that forward half pressure that Port Adelaide were so used to seeing through a Zach Butters is simply not there at the moment.
So a question for the three of you. After 12 games, Port Adelaide have only beaten a current top eight team once. And that was Richmond earlier in the year at home. but they have now lost to West Coast, Brisbane, the Bulldogs, and Geelong. Those last two, the Dogs and obviously the Cats at home.
Yep.
So what are they lacking? Because I think it's multiple things, but is there any one thing that stands out to you guys that they are lacking, which is preventing them from being able to beat the best teams?
What they're lacking is they've got on their injury list.
Yeah, that's where I was going, Rammer.
It's Dersma and Butters. It's speed. It's closing speed. Yeah, Fantasia. But Dersma and Butters, they're closing speed because they're both super quick players and they're X-factor players. They're unpredictable. Yeah. They do... You're like, wow, like Zach Butters, some of the things that he's doing at the start of the season, you're just like, whoa, this kid's going to be... He was already going into that superstar category. But that forward pressure that he would provide was critical. And that winger role that Dersma was playing, I thought the Geelong wingers were very good last night, keeping their winning the ball.
We've seen on occasions, Rama, and you mentioned that Geelong were able just to set up down their back line and rebound their ball. And we know that's where they start their attack from, with Stewart intercepting marking. A couple of times Port shifted the ball on him and went around and then went back in and lowered the eyes. And I thought that looked really, really good. But I couldn't agree any more with you. It's the personnel for Port Adelaide. It's the Fantasia, I think, becomes really important to them in a finals type of football. Butters and Dersma, because Butters is right up there with Rosie. He can kick three goals in a quarter or four goals in a half. Exactly that. So the personnel for me, for Port Adelaide to be a super team, they've always been that quick rebounding team when they had the wing guards and these type of guys. And I don't think they've changed their style too much under Hinkley. But if you haven't got the personnel, that game style doesn't work exactly how you want. And Butters, Fantasia, Dersma adds a lot to that team.
Why do you spend on the list management committee at Port Adelaide for a number of years?
Number of years now.
What are they missing?
I think they're missing midfield depth. Now, that can be potentially fixed with Butters coming back.
Their midfield
back into
dominated
the team.
Last night.
No, I don't think it did. I think that Boak and Wines were particularly dominant in the second half, but I don't think they have the midfield depth and particularly in moments. In big moments last night, if it wasn't Wines and Boak, who was it in the midfield that was going to get it done for them? Whereas Geelong, they had more options, and I think maybe more senior players that stood up in big moments. And so when Geelong got behind by three goals a couple of times in the match, their senior players got them back going again.
But who were they?
Who were they?
Who were the mids and the senior players?
There was opportunities where Dangerfield and Selwood particularly.
Yeah, but that's your Wines and Boak. Situation.
No, but then you've got Higgins, you've got Smith, who did a couple of really good things at important times. Yeah. And I'm not talking about necessarily ball winning numbers. It was moments, and you know, obviously you've got what Cameron and Hawkins did. But it just seemed that when the game was slipping on a couple of occasions, that it might have just been a contested ball win. It might have just been a tap on. It might have just been a mark at an important time. They seem to have more players that stood up, whereas for Port Adelaide, it's down to the same. Few every time. That's what.
Who's the other players that run through the Port midfield?
Powell Pepper. Powell Pepper had eight disposals. Willem Drew is a trier, but is he?
He did a good job, I reckon. Willem Drew.
I was going to say, is he the player that's going to be a game breaker for them outside of Wines and Boak?
He's a defensive role. He's playing that. Who's the Irish bloke? O'Connor role. Who went to Travis Boak last night. He's playing that sort of negating role.
So Houston's gone back to half back as opposed to being a genuine midfielder. I just don't see where those midfielders are. Amon's obviously is a winger and he's comes in and out of games. But have they got the midfield depth to match it with the best players in the competition? It's a question, it's not a statement. It's probably a leading question.
Is that those players that we just spoke? Those players we just spoke about, is it time for a Butters or a Rosie to start going through the midfield? Because Motlop didn't do a great deal last night, but he's a better player when Butters and Fantasia are in the team as well, because the defensive layers shift down and he gets the fifth or sixth best defender.
Before Butters got injured, he was playing more midfield minutes. I think Rosie, with his foot, he had plantar fascia.
Yeah. So Butters is the one that Butters should be the genuine midfielder.
Yeah, they're missing him enormously at the moment. One other, just before we finish on there, one other aspect of the game I noticed last night is what Geelong and Jeremy Cameron did with Alirelia. Dragging him so high up the ground. And that took away one of Port Adelaide's great strengths, I think, is that his intercept marking.
I was surprised he went with him. I was surprised they let him.
It was craziness by
Alirelia. Just sit back. And get, because you still would have come through. So let him get his ball in defensive 50. That's fine.
Yeah.
And he can start the chain. No worries. But we'll stop you. If we're gonna, we sit back, we'll stop you. But too many times, as you rightly point out, Ramat,
blew him up.
He went up with him, blew him up, but also got caught out of position because he didn't know what to do, whether to impact or try and sit off and be an outlet number or a cover release.
Yeah.
And he got caught in the middle of no man's land. They went over him. They leapfrogged him, and it was all over.
Can I come with my big stat now? I've been waiting for this all night.
Before you get to the stat.
Or morning.
And morning and night.
Okay.
Before you get to the stat, I would have loved to have seen that game played out in its entirety with Marshall on the field. You talk about the Cats intercept marking. I think if he's there, the predictability of those longer balls isn't as predictable, and you're able to get separation. You're able to take away one of those Cats defenders, or maybe even two, if you can separate with Georgiades as well, and make it a more one-on-one opportunity for those forwards. And I think that would have been a big difference in the outcome.
I think it's a great call, Huff, because that happened to Port in the finals last year. They got a bit predictable under pressure that they just go to Dixon or they go long, and that they weren't using the spot-up kick at the top of the 50.
I'm a little bit the opposite. I want to see Port Adelaide in that game against Geelong with Fantasia and Butters.
You know, I do want to say that
speed aspect, that ground level intercept, in the forward half.
The intercept stuff was a problem last night for him, and I reckon Marshall creates a totally different dynamic. I love the speed and the pressure, but I want to see him be able to separate defences with, because Dixon did a good job as one-man band, sort of.
Well, Georgiades was there.
And Georgiades was playing a bit higher, but I'd love to see Marshall in that contest last night, the way it was played, that it could have made a difference. Before we get to your stat.
Oh, okay.
I know you want to get to it. Tony's in Geelong, wants to talk to you guys about the game last night. Hello, Tone.
Yeah, good day, Daniel. No, the player I want to talk about. Stephen Wells has found another one, and I hope he stays in the side, because if he doesn't, I'll bring crying boys in and can't kick the save his life. Bradley Close.
Yeah.
Very good. Like, he gets in angles where Ryan's be having a shot, he squares the ball up, he hits targets. He's very good with his hands, he's tight, he gets blokes in the clear to kick goals. And I just think, well, he's found another one.
He had 12 important touches last night.
He did.
But he was clean in that last quarter when the real heat was on the game. His hands were really good, I thought, just getting his teammates into the clear with handball. He's only slight, there's not much of him, but he's not afraid to put himself in that dangerous position where he can take a big hit. So, no, I agree with that. I even thought last year he probably was a little bit unlucky to go out of the team late in the season.
Quentin Arkell, of course, missed out last night.
He was sub, which is interesting. Yeah, he's been in very good form. And so you've got to remember
some big names.
Well, Guthrie's still got to come back into the team.
If you're a list manager looking at Quentin Narkle, because whenever he gets a chance, he goes pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, you're a list manager.
He's played 30-odd games. He's only played 30-odd games.
Four.
This is his fifth year.
He'll be at the Kangas next year with Boomer Harvey. I can see the smile on his face. I can see the smile on his face. It.
We'll have him. We'll have him for sure.
Thank you, Tone. He's a genius, is Wellesley. And he's back in town, isn't he? Isn't he back at the Cats? Back.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's got to jump out of his seat.
Oh, I know. I want Boomer, because he's got a cup of tea in hand. I can see him in the Zoom link. He's got a cup of tea in hand. I didn't want him to spit it out once Whitey gave him this remarkable stat.
Right. So now he's put it down.
Okay, thank you.
Here's your stat.
Are you ready?
Right.
Let's go.
Since round six, when Jeremy Cameron made his debut, in round six, between Cameron, Hawkins and Rowan, they have kicked 59 goals, 22, which is an average as a trio of 8.4 goals a game. Cameron's kicked 23 goals, 7. Hawkins, 19 goals, 10. And Rowan, 17 goals, 5. And in that time, Geelong has won 6 of 7 games. The only team they've lost to has been the Swans.
Take that for data.
Which they could have very easily won.
You know you tweeted that last night.
No, I know.
Yeah. I was just making sure.
I was just doubling down on it because I really liked it.
So what's that saying?
What it says is that they've got the best forward line in the competition.
Or the best
and
firepower.
When they are playing together, particularly when Cameron and Hawkins are playing together, they are more likely to go quick. And we've talked about Geelong wanting to go quick for a number of years, and it just seems that as soon as Cameron's gone in there, it's almost like they flick the switch. Particularly when they get forward of centre, they go quick.
Chris Scott was talking about the forwards last night. Let's have a listen to the coach of the Cats.
Given the injury, we were really optimistic that we could build it quickly through the pre-season, but Jeremy had a few issues and then missed the first month with that hamstring. So it's coming along quite nicely. But it wasn't just him. We haven't had Dangerfield either. So to have them sort of all together tonight was, I think, a step in the right direction. What was I expecting? I'm not really sure. We were optimistic, but it's hard to forecast these things. But we knew if we did get them together for long enough with the caliber of our assistant coaches that we could put a pretty cohesive group together.
His hair's looking more luscious and magnificent every week. Chris Scott,
he puts his fingers through it now. Yeah, it's nice.
Just further to that, I think as a result of those three working so well, that it'll keep Dangerfield as he gets fitter more in the midfield, which I still think that's better for Geelong that he's in the midfield.
I thought you were going to go with the 30-year-old stat last night.
What was that? It was the most ever, wasn't it?
Ever.
Yeah.
Had 10 players over 30 years of age, Cats.
Yeah. Well, they're here for the now. They're
but you look at those, it. You look at those 10 for the Cats. None of them are limping yet.
No, and that's my none point. Like, the one that I didn't mention in that when I was talking about those moments was Duncan. He was another one that was real. He's such a good player, but he's got a clear role that he plays. And I just felt that, as I said, those moments when it looked like the game was slipping, the senior players. That's why they've got all those veterans there, because they just know what to do in those big moments.
They've just added the class to it, haven't they? With Isaac Smith and
Higgins.
Sean Higgins now. That's just the outside cream to deliver the ball inside 50. They can get the grunt work done by those other guys you mentioned earlier, Whitey. And I'm with you. I didn't speak about the Port Adelaide midfield, but Geelong midfield's, you know, it's very good. And who's got to come back in, did you say?
Guthrie.
Guthrie's going to come back in there, and then you've got the most potent forward line in the competition with 59 goals between three of them from round 6, Whitey. It's hard to stop.
I think the Geelong...
Great stat, Boom. Where did you get that from?
I'm not sure that that's added to their speed. They've only played really aggressive footy, I reckon, against the good teams.
No, they have. But often also when they get behind. So they're behind against Richmond.
Then they attack.
And they had to attack. Yeah. They got behind against West Coast. They had to attack.
Must have been only early.
No, it was. West Coast jumped them. West Coast jumped them. But they get rolling, and then it's almost like this just momentum rolling down the hill.
I think the Geelong...
Away they go.
The Geelong ruck dilemma is becoming clearer. I think Radaglia looks at home as the ruckman.
Yep.
He's aggressive. He's got good follow-up. He takes marks around the ground. I like him. I know it'll say, look, Laddams had 29 hit-outs last night, but I thought Radaglia was much more effective around the ground.
Does he keep Stanley out of the team, Rammer?
Yeah, I think so. Yep, well, I think he does. And so Blitzarts comes in, obviously plays as that second ruckman, and he then can play anywhere on the ground.
Yep.
But I think they like Radaglia's aggression.
Well, Chris Scott seems to talk about Radaglia any chance he gets.
Yeah.
So I think he might be the favourite for the coach as well. Peter's in South Morang. I want to talk Cats. Hello, Pete.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. How are we?
Yeah, terrific.
Yeah, Whitey, you often talk to me on Gareth Hall's show, mate, but I had to ring in this morning. You know what I'm like as a Geelong supporter. We do this every single year, and then we get to the finals, and we're a little bit shaky, wobbly. So just temper it, please, buddy. I love your enthusiasm, and you know I love my Catters. But I don't want to wrap us up too much until we get to that prelim final or the grand final and we keep out the way of Richmond. So,
no, but you're right, Peter.
Just driving along this morning, absolutely frothing at the mouth of what you're saying. But I'm a Geelong supporter, mate. We've got long memories. And I just don't want to get too excited, especially while I'm driving.
but Peter, I think you're exactly right. I think that this is the thing is, and this is what frustrates Geelong fans, and you see the template, you see what they can do, because they did this a couple of times last year where they went quick and they would just... Remember how they just dominated Essendon one particular day? And you think,
it's only Essendon, though.
Correct.
Port Adelaide, they dominated on the Gabba that night as well.
So they've got the template there. It's whether they get safe and cautious when the game is higher. And one of the reasons why they struggle against Richmond is Richmond do keep speeding the game. Yeah. So if they go safe against Richmond and they press up, then that's when they struggle against the Tigers.
They also did it through the 90s when I was barracking for him, Whitey, and broke my heart on 3 or 4 occasions.
Yeah, right.
When it came to the last day in September.
Sound like Peter from Peterborough, not Peter from South Morang.
Well, he's working hard in the truck there, I think. Good luck to you, Pete. Thanks for calling in. The Port Adelaide situation, you talked before, Rama, about a failed another test. Ken Hinckley was talking about that post-game. Let's have a listen to Camperdown Ken.
We're good, but we're not good enough against the best teams in the competition. I'm not going to hide from that. We're not good enough. Against them, we're good enough to challenge them and get really close. You know, the last two teams, Bulldogs and Geelong here, they've been games that have been on for most part of the game, and we just haven't been quite efficient enough or effective enough to win that game at the end of the day. So right now, right here, we're just a little bit off those teams, and we doesn't mean we'll be off them at the end, but we're off them at the moment.
Doesn't mean we'll be off them at the end, but we're off them at the moment. Well, you've got to be acknowledge realistic.
It's honest, isn't it?
Acknowledge it and go and work on it.
Yeah, we're not quite good enough.
There's still, 10 games? They've got 10 games remaining this season.
Yep.
He did say earlier in the week that they didn't necessarily need a scalp, which I disagreed with. They definitely need a scalp.
It's just... I don't know. Absolutely you do. It's confidence. It's absolute confidence.
I don't know. I reckon you've got 10 weeks to go. Who you beat in the first 12 weeks of the year, it doesn't matter.
There's always a... Every team has what's called a bogey team. When Essendon were coming through, late 90s, early 2000s, it was North Melbourne for us. We had to beat Boomer's North Melbourne.
Look at Boomer just popping his cannons. But he's actually got his biceps out. Put him back, mate.
But that was the team we had to beat.
The Kangas.
Yep, had to beat them.
We had to beat the other 15 at the time. the Hawks. You know, we had 15 bogey teams for a little while.
The next three, Port Adelaide. The next three for Port Adelaide are Gold Coast, Sydney and Hawthorn. So Sydney is going to be interesting.
Where is that game?
You need to ask me that. It is at home. So they've got there. So we're not going to learn any more about them, I don't think, until they play Melbourne. But then we're already, when they're playing Melbourne, it's sort of round 17.
But that's all right. That's when you want to be getting a scalp. That's a scalp time.
Kenny's not going to know any more about his team in the next 3 weeks. Until he gets
Ken Hinckley on Monday, that's how he does his review. He walks in and says, "Rightio, boys, we're not right there. We're a good team, but we're not the best team." And that's the way he'll do a review. I reckon he's a very honest guy when he goes to the press conference. There's no crap with him. He just goes in and says it how it is. And I reckon that's how he does his review on Monday. Yeah. And as a good team, it's hard to say or hard to hear we're not the best team. So you want to improve. And he'll get that 4%, 5%, 6% improvement out of him in the back end of the season leading into finals, because that's the way he coaches.
We'll see what happens with the Power. The Cats, very good. Very good last night. It was a good game of footy regardless. Doesn't matter who you barrack for, neutral or invested emotionally. It was a good start to round 13. We'll come back after Johnny Badden gives us the latest news. Go through a couple of the other key games with Boomer on the Friday Footy Preview, Whitey.
And as we do, it's news sort of coming through overnight early this morning. Brisbane's going to get the Olympics.
It's
going to be ratified next month. It's a formality.
2032. Yes, that's exciting news for sports lovers. Nice work there from Nicholas Quinn. That's a race 3, number 2, and a race 5, number 1 at Eagle Farm tomorrow.
I love that from Quinny. He'll go get somebody else's goods.
and claim it.
Yeah, claim it.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. If you just join us, say, you've missed a lot. You've missed a lot. It's been a bit happening this morning. So straight to the website, rsn.net.au, for all the latest. What we need to do is continue on our discussion about the round 13 of football. We do that in the Friday Footy Preview with Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder and the people's hamstring at the moment. Boomer, before we get to what's happening tonight, Friday Night Footy, Sydney and Hawthorn, before the weekend's games, just on one of the incidents last night, which caused a bit of consternation on the broadcast and on the socials at the time as well, was the incident between Henderson and Marshall. Ended up getting Marshall off the ground, concussion, and he didn't play any further part. And are they playing next week or they got the bye? Port.
No,
they play next week. So he won't be playing next week either. There was some level of conversation that Henderson should be cited for that. Did you have a take on that?
Yeah, I didn't even think it was a free kick. Well, I actually didn't. When I was watching the game and they played a couple of replays, Henderson was actually going to mark the ball all the way until the very, very, very last split second.
Yep.
Marshall actually ran into him and made contact with Henderson. That's what I thought. That's the way I seen it anyway. And the player, Marshall, had eyes for the ball. Henderson had eyes for the ball. Regardless of what happens from there, you can't be cited for me. That's football. That's a collision that you'll never, ever be able to stop, and you shouldn't stop in our game of AFL football. So I'm not sure who said he should be cited, but that's... I actually didn't even think it was a free kick. I thought he had eyes on the ball, and that's just a play on. Yes, Marshall got concussed, and we don't want to see that. Didn't take no further part in the game. We don't want to see that with anybody. But for me, that's actually play on for me, or was a mark to the other Geelong player.
Couldn't agree more.
Nothing
more
to
agree more. No free kick. Umpires just got a bit nervous there and paid the free kick because someone got hit.
Get on with it.
It's a collision game. there will be incidents like that. Spot on, Boomer. That's why you're the main man around here in the Friday Footy Preview. Just before we get to the other games, Nathan Buckley situation through the week, coach standing down mid-year. Did you have that happen at the Kangaroos any times?
We did. We had Dean Laidley.
Yes, of course.
And then we obviously had the Brad Scott situation when I was still at the football club. I wasn't playing then, but we're still at the football club. It's a very interesting one for me. I'm actually on the fence a little bit because, like, I don't know how it all works. Is Buckley getting pushed? Did Brad get pushed? Did they jump before they get pushed? So it's a tough one. It's a tough one. But we've seen it happen with Carlton and David Teague got the job, and then we've seen it happen with North Melbourne and Reece Shaw got the job, and they both end up coaching the following year. So I think it's Robert Harvey taking over at the Pies. It'll be interesting to see how he goes for the remainder of the year and see if he actually puts his hand up and wants the job.
Hmm. Yep. Ramon, what's your take on that? I didn't speak to you about this.
I'm surprised Sam from Swan Hill hasn't called in.
Well, we were very surprised.
Look, I'm disappointed. I've openly said I'm a believer in Nathan Buckley and his coaching for a long time.
Where but he didn't been? Seem to
Grand final, prelim final, winning final last year. You know, it hasn't been a great year. I get that.
That's true. But he didn't say it now. It's easy to do it in a press conference where you got your sort of ducks in a row a bit, but he didn't seem to want to be the guy that was going to be there for 4 or 5 years, so we're told. Yeah. Or was he told he wasn't going to be the guy for 4 or 5 years, so get out now?
We don't know that.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
Half, yes, Daniel, mate? you're the only coach on the station right now. So let me put this here. So Carlton come to you and just say, listen, we don't see you coaching next year.
Yep.
You've still got 6 games to go.
Yep.
What do you do? Do you want to coach out the season and finish the job with the girls? Or do you want to just say, righto, if I'm not the man for the job, let's get someone else in that can take over now and see how it goes?
I think if that is a public statement, then I don't think you have any chance as a coach for the rest of that season.
Okay.
So I think as you will
I'm
well
not
know,
saying that happened.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know that happened at all, and it probably didn't happen. But I was just curious, if that was the scenario,
yep,
what would you do?
Because players, as soon as you give them that one, the coach isn't going to be there. Oh, well, you know.
There's an out for him.
Yeah, you give him an out, and why would I listen to this bloke? He's not going to be around next year. I don't think it's a tenable situation if you're given that statement and it's a public statement. If it was kept behind closed doors and you're able to work through it, you could do it, I think.
Yep.
But if that was a public statement, we're not going to go forward with whoever it is, I don't think there's a chance in hell that can survive.
And that's the same anywhere in a sporting club, in business. As soon as the leader says that they're not going to be there, it's then hard to then continue on thinking, well, you're not going to be there long term, so what's the point? You know, because the next person comes in might think very differently about a situation. I think that's just human nature. I think with Nathan, we've spoken about it a bit. It did feel quite amicable in the situation that I think Collingwood knew that Nathan perhaps didn't have that mental vibrancy almost to keep going. That it just all got a bit heavy and a bit dour, and that it was almost like the players need a fresh start.
My gut feel, if Nathan Buckley wanted a job at another club, it might not be next year. He'll probably have 12 months off. He'll get another job.
I know, but he might need that break to freshen up.
No doubt.
Mentally.
Yeah. Brad Scott's doing that at the moment. He's could he come back into coaching at some stage? Who knows?
We will see. We will see. Let's get to tonight's Friday night game at the SCG, Sydney and Hawthorn. Now, not exactly blockbuster material in terms of ladder position, 6v17, but regardless, interesting encounter, full stop. Because Sydney have played close games of recent weeks.
They haven't
played awesome, but they've been able to win. And the 6 of the last 7 matches against the Hawks have been decided by 9 points or less. Now, this is a different edition of Hawthorn from what we've seen in probably most of those encounters. But regardless, they played close games of football. And one of the stories of the year is Jai Newcombe, who's getting a chance for Hawthorn tonight. Mid-season draft pick, who is getting a chance on debut. Well, Will Day's back in as well, Jago Ramirez. So some good ins for the Hawks. 6 games ago, this fellow was playing at Poowong.
Yeah. It is amazing.
It's a remarkable story. Now he's lining up for Hawthorn mid-season against the Swans, the SCG, Boomer. These are the stories the mid-season draft is plucking out for us.
How does that happen? He's playing for who?
Poowong.
Poowong. Where's that?
It's in the Phillip Island sort of area. Yeah.
Well, it's a great story, isn't it? This is why we love the romance part of football, and it's hopefully he goes well and gets a kick. It's a big story to be playing a couple of weeks ago for a local team and then straight back into, straight into an AFL system and playing his first game. Congratulations and good luck.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing story. Six games ago, local footy, and now he's playing for Hawthorn.
He's averaged 23 possessions, 7 tackles in his 6 VFL games this year. So he's tough midfielder, tough inside mid. Good luck to him.
Sam Mitchell's a fan. Yeah. Craig McRae's a big fan as well, so he's getting a good look. And he gets to go up against one of the form teams in the competition. Yeah. The Swans are 8-4 after 12 games. They're going beautifully, Remma.
Well, yeah, they're...
From what expected, well, yeah, pre-season.
From a ladder position, they're going really well. I tend to agree with Whitey here. I think they're just having a little flat period in their season at the minute. Now, it's whether they can bounce out of that at some stage. Doesn't need to be now, but over the next couple of weeks. But 8-4, they've got that little buffer inside the 8. So I think they should win tonight. I think they probably should win. You want to see him win comfortably tonight. You don't want to see him grind out another win.
No, I agree with you.
Win.
I think they want to be kicking 100 points, Franklin kicking 5, and getting them back feeling better about themselves.
Yeah, moving the ball well. We said this at the start of the year. The SCG won't necessarily suit the way Sydney play. Another game at the SCG, obviously. They need to find probably a better system for the SCG because it's a little bit scrappy when they play. They want the wide open spaces. Jake Lloyd, Jordan Dawson, those types, to be able to use their kicking ability, which they've drafted for. They've changed their team before our very eyes. They've developed a team of probably more highly skilled players. I understand Kennedy's still there and he signed for another year and Parker is still there as those real dour inside mids, but now they've got runners. They've got runners and guys that want to use the ball. They want to run and get out in open space.
Well, we talked to Josh Kennedy yesterday and he actually talked about the fact that kind of isn't nearly really about him and Parker anymore. It's
Parker's
actually
only
about,
28.
Yeah, but it's about Rowbottom. It's about
Mills.
Florent, Mills, these sorts of guys. You know, obviously Warner's not playing this one, but they're distributing the midfield time amongst more players at the moment. So Kennedy's not necessarily in there as much. You know, he might be at half forward or spend longer on the bench, and that's giving the opportunity to spread the load.
I'll tell you what they are good at, and that's turning the ball over in the forward half. I think they're nearly the best team in the competition, or the top three I think they rank in, at turning the ball over and giving themselves another opportunity to score. But the last month of football, we've seen them play Collingwood, Fremantle, St Kilda and Carlton. They've won 3 out of those 4, which probably should have won all 4. But the next month of football is super important for them in terms of ladder position and whether they play finals or not, because they've got the bye next week, but then they follow up with Port Adelaide, West Coast and the Bulldogs. So big 3 weeks after the bye for the Sydney Swans. And I know they think, well, I think you said they're 6 on the ladder half, I think
that's
you
correct.
Mentioned.
Yep.
It's a big month of football coming ahead. And tonight, it's just a must win. If they don't win tonight, it really puts their finals in jeopardy for the next 3 or 4 weeks because of the teams that they play. So tonight's just a must win. They've got to get there, they've got to get the job done, grit their teeth and put that one behind them, but get the win first of all.
So Harp, Hawthorn's first half of the year was a bit of a sort of a nothing, really. As a former boy band member of the late 90s, early 2000s of Hawthorn, what do you want to see? Do you want to see what Hawthorn stand for the second half of the season so you know what you're going to get moving forward?
Well, I think all Hawthorn fans would like to see that. We'd like to see some grunt through the middle of the ground and then some speed and give our forwards a chance. Interesting to see that Mitch Lewis got punched up by a teammate in a boxing session during the week. Won't play this week, won't play next week on the back of it. That's going well.
Well, that's the grunt that you want to see.
That's the sort of grunt. Yeah, a little bit. Some real intensity at the contest. Physicality through the middle of the ground, I reckon, is really important. And this is why I imagine a guy like Newcomb comes in and gets a crack.
Yeah.
Because he's that guy. Yeah. He's one of those guys. So that, and see try and put together a forward line that looks like it's going to be dangerous and hit the scoreboard as well would be nice, too. See, it doesn't look very dangerous.
See, Jack Gunston's not playing again.
Still injured.
See, he pulled out late about 3 weeks ago with a back spasm.
Yep.
And hasn't been seen since.
Yeah, but he had fairly major surgery on that back. So
he did start of the season.
Yeah,
but I kind of thought it was one of those ones where spasms up. You go to the chiropractor on the Tuesday, Thursday.
Not with the significance of the
surgery. I understand
surgery,
that, but at the time it didn't sound like it was that serious because he is so important to Hawthorn.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Clearly,
Whitey, I've got one for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
A stat for you.
Oh, good.
So Jake Lloyd has had 73 kick-ins this year. How many times has he played on and kicked?
73.
100% of the time. 73 from 73, Jake Lloyd.
I don't think there'd be too many players that would stay inside the square these days, would they?
Might just have to change my category now. Boomer's exposed me.
Should it be a stat?
You're not doing kicks, are you, Whitey?
We'll get to that.
Boomer used to run down and do a couple of kick-ins every now and then.
If he was getting a heavy tag.
Hey, the best was when you went down, you're playing on Kane Corns or someone and they've kept you to four possessions for the quarter. You go down there and you take a kick in, you look at him, you have a smile, you kick it to yourself, you play on, and you go back to him and say, stop that one, stupid. There was nothing better in football.
Stop that one, stupid. Fantastic work from you. That's Friday Night Footy. Who's winning? Boomer?
The Swans for me.
Anyone tipping the Hawks?
No.
I wouldn't have thought so. Sydney for all of us. And Jono's tipped the Swans as well. We'll come back after the break. Have a look at the other games for round 13 and also Friday face-off. If you haven't registered for that, straight to the website.
Maybe. We could have made it harder, I suppose. But, you know, we're fortunate at the moment. We're sleeping in our own beds. We're in a state that's reasonably clear of COVID. Some of these teams have been on the road for 2 or 3 weeks. And, yeah, we want to be ruthless as well. We want to take every advantage we can get. But I think doing the right thing for the competition is important as well. So, yeah, that's the way it landed. The AFL probably would have overridden us anyway.
They probably would have. Adam Simpson.
A slap at the end there.
Well, just a little clip on the way through. Drive-by. Former Kangaroos superstar these days, West Coast coach, a premiership coach of the West Coast Eagles. He's supposed to be on holiday this week. But they've brought the game forward against Richmond. That'll be played Sunday at Optus Stadium. It's a very important game, probably outside of last night, the best game of the weekend. As Quinny said before, let's get to the tips for the rest of the round. North Melbourne and the Giants before that, gents, at Bonston Arena tomorrow, where Boomer will be with his tracksuit pants and beanie. Where did I get to? Oh, it's in the wrong order in the paper. Sorry. I'll get to that in a second. Fremantle and Gold Coast is tomorrow. Let's go chronologically. Perth Stadium tomorrow. Apologies, Boomer. 11v13. This is when teams that are similar in the ladder play together, we get tight battles. So I'm excited by this. Boomer, who wins?
Gold Coast for me. Fremantle, massive injury list. So I think 3 big injuries last week. Gold Coast.
Yep. Cox, 5. Logue Wilson out suspended and Blakely's been dropped as well. So lots of outs. And I should mention Matty Rao back in for the Gold Coast Suns. Rama, who are you tipping?
Gold Coast should win, but I'm tipping Fremantle.
Gold Coast should win, tipping Fremantle. Okay.
Because I can't trust Gold Coast interstate yet.
Righto. Whitey?
I think Fremantle have 15 on their injury list.
Correct.
And Gold Coast have got 4.
So,
I'm going with Gold Coast, Daniel. I'm going with Gold Coast.
I'm going
with
the Gold Coast Suns as well. Secured to Adelaide, Cazalis Stadium in Cairns, this one. This is an interesting clash too, 12v15. Rama, you go first.
Oh, this is a big one. Really big one.
Saints.
Saints?
Yeah.
Right, Whitey?
St Kilda.
Boomer.
Crows for me this week, and one tip I'll definitely get up. This is a game that Crows can win and will win.
Crows for me as well.
Two debutants. They are so short on players. With Brad injuries Cratch as well, was explaining yesterday, injuries, but also players going home for the birth of children and all sorts of things. They're really light on.
Remember Ross out of that for that reason. You've got Geary out as well. I'm on the Crows with you, Boomer. Let's have a crack at the Kangaroos and the Giants clash Hobart on Sunday, Bonstead Arena. Boomer, I know who you're tipping. Sam Reid plays game number 100 for the Giants. It's taken 12 years, been delisted 4 times, 2 clubs. He's done a great job. It's quite a remarkable story.
Especially with his health issues as well. With diabetes. It's a great result.
Who wins?
Giants.
Giants for you?
Yeah, Giants. Toby Greenback makes such a difference.
Toby Greenback does.
Kangas, easy. Come on, Kangas.
Stop that, stupid. Zach says Kane Corns off the SMS. Giants for me as well. West Coast to Richmond. This is going to be an interesting game. Sunday night at Optus Stadium. Boomer.
It is an interesting game. What are the ins for the Eagles? Did they get many back?
Allen, Brander, Duggan, Kennedy and Vardy.
Some big blokes back in.
Oh, some big names there. I'm actually going to go with the Eagles. Yep, I'm going to go with the West Coast Eagles.
Righto. Rama?
West Coast have to win.
Whitey?
West
Coast.
I think Richmond are the best bet of the weekend.
Cool.
I don't think West Coast...
$1.65.
West Coast have still got a lot of very important players out of the team, particularly in the midfield. Richmond have still got, I think, 17, 18 premiership players available. The way that they've played over the last couple of weeks, I reckon they're getting better and better and better, and I think they'll win.
I'm on the Tigers as well. And they're Melbourne-Collingwood on Monday. Boomer, I don't think we're too many tipping Collingwood, will we?
No. Nah. Demons for me.
Demons. We'll tip the D's, the best team in footy. Righto, let's get to the Friday face-off.
The Breakfast Club's face-off for Riviera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
Whitey, you were the winner last week for the Friday face. Well, you weren't. You tied with Ram.
Well, Ram and I are going to have a kickoff.
We're excited by that. Last one didn't go your way. Well, what's the category for this week's place?
We used a flat ball last time.
Well, no, we did. Everyone else kicked them beautifully.
This week, we're going to go with something unusual for me because I'm not really sure what it is. A contested... What's that?
It's Boomer's phone. Oh.
Contested possessions we're going to go with tonight.
Kentuckys! You beauty!
Kentuckys. Why do you have it?
Kentuckys!
I was going to go with kicks, but I knew who you go with.
We've bullied you out of it. Fantastic. $100 Ribera's voucher, Pataki hamper to be won for the Friday face-off winner for our contestants. All you got to do is register at the website, rsn.net.au. Boomer, you're first because you are garbage at this. You're playing for Simon Nabbs from Campbellfield. Who are you selecting for most Kentuckys tonight?
All Sydney right, and Hawthorn. Well, good luck, Simon. I reckon you're a chance. I'm just going to save my run to the second half of the season and go on a little bit of a run here. I'm going to go with Luke Parker from the Sydney Swans.
Luke Parker, nice work from you. Good luck to you, Simon. You'll be barracking for Luke. I've got John Douglas from Greensboro. Clayton Oliver will get most contested possessions tonight. He's very good at that. He can still find a way to do it, I reckon. He's that sort of guy. Jager O'Meara, Jager's back in. He's going to be very important for the Hawks around the contest. He will be the contested possession winner for tonight. So good luck to you, John. Whitey. Rammer, you've got Norm Patterson from Frankston.
I will take Tom Mitchell.
Tom Mitchell, the other Hawk, and the Brownlow medalist, of course, for the Hawks. Is Rammer's selection. Good luck to you, Norm. And Dave Tanky from Briar Hill, Whitey, is your contestant.
Dave, the plan has worked perfectly because this guy tonight is going to have a massive game, and I'm very, very confident we're playing for 4 points. Callum Mills.
Callum Mills for the Sydney Swans.
Nice. He's going back to halfback.
Yeah, that's
Callum
right.
Mills.
That's what I heard too.
No one's got Josh Kennedy, averaging the second most on the field.
Yeah, Whitey.
He only had 14 touches last week, and he cost me some money. And
you're off him.
He needed at least 20, and he got... well short of that.
Boomer, good luck to your boys against the Giants on Sunday. Nice to chat to you, mate. We'll catch you next week.
No worries. Good luck, boys. Have a good weekend.
Good stuff. Look after the hamstring. Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, with us on the Friday footy preview. Rami, you're working Monday with us on the Queen's birthday holiday.
What?
Yes, okay. You're back.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Lots to talk about after a big weekend of sport. We'll do it on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. If you've got a long one, don't be afraid to just tune in anyway Monday morning. Michael Falgate has got a massive Friday edition of Racing Pulse coming up. We'll catch you Monday.